The Lord be with you. Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. We are in the green Pentecost season. Our festival season of the church year is behind us. Won't pick up again until Advent. But now the readings focus on the life of a Christian and how God grows us, green, how He grows us in our faith and our life as we hear His Word and receive His gifts. We pray that God would richly bless us today in that respect. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 904, Blessed Jesus, at Your Word. The last verse is a Trinitarian verse, so please stand as you're able. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. Divine Service Setting 3, that's on page 184 and following. I have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. Focus today will be on the gospel reading and the great wedding banquet. Want to thank everyone who made our special little activity on Wednesday night such a great time. We had former vicar, now pastor-elect Christian Preuss, who was here on Wednesday, delivered the message, had an opportunity for a little meet and greet with the family afterwards. Was a huge turnout for a Wednesday night during the summer. That was very, very, very special. They're now on their way to Casper, Wyoming, and we pray God's blessings upon them. You'll notice that we are vicarless here today. Vicar Williams is delivering a message in Hickman, and he's got about 6 or 7 weeks left in his vicarage. Isn't that amazing? So we pray God's blessings for him and the gospel message there. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give You thanks and praise for the good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation in and only in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask Your blessings upon us as we are confronted with so many voices, so many activities, so many situations, so many choices. Heavenly Father, sometimes, oftentimes, we have made the wrong choice, and You and Your Word has gone by the wayside. Heavenly Father, today, bring us to repentance and help us to hear anew, as if for the first time, of Your great love in the person and work of Jesus. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in His precious and powerful name, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 904.
setting number 3, page 184, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant to us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit, printed on your bulletin insert. We chant them together. God on high. Since you never fail to help and govern those whom you nurture in your steadfast fear and love, work in us a perpetual fear and love of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for the second Sunday after Trinity is Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has also mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to the words of the gradual, we speak them together. In my distress I called to the Lord, and He answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from my lips, from a deceitful tongue. The epistle lesson is from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for our Alleluia and verse. Luke, the 14th chapter. When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and there is still room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Having heard the word of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, we confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all the worlds, our God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance of the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from Father and Son, who with Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism. Sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world.
be seated. The hymn of the day, 563.
And peace, love, and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning. The gospel reading we heard just a moment ago, the parable of the great wedding banquet. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come! For everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. In the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 25, we have kind of an interesting, small, seemingly obscure account of a little conflict, a little gamesmanship going on between Jacob and his brother Esau. Jacob and Esau, twins, remember? Esau the oldest, Jacob the youngest. Esau, the one with the birthright and the promise. Jacob, the younger, the schemer, the one through whom the Messiah would be born. And so in Genesis 25, we have this almost strange account. Once, when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. You get the picture? Esau is out hunting like a manly man. And he comes back and he's hungry. Jacob is in the house with mom cooking stew. All right? And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Jacob said, "Then sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me. Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and he drank and he went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Thus Esau despised his birthright. What's going on here? What's the big deal? We see so often that the tyranny of the urgent, that thing that's going on right now, that seems to be the most important thing in the whole world, in hindsight, really isn't that big of a deal. And sometimes, like Esau, we despise things that are really important, to take care of the things that aren't that important. The birthright was his inheritance. The firstborn got a double portion. And along with that inheritance of physical stuff came an inheritance of spiritual blessings as well. To be the head or the family priest. Birthright was of great significance. But Esau, he despised it. What we have playing out here in Genesis 25 is really what the parable of the great banquet is all about. Here in Luke 14, Jesus tells a parable. A story to teach us a great spiritual truth. There was a man who prepared a great banquet. All right. But before this parable, Jesus is teaching quite a bit. Our text starts in verse 15. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he told him this parable. What things prompted Jesus to tell this parable of a great banquet? When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. Don't worry about getting something back. Don't worry about what you can get out of it. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. At these words, one of the people who was listening got all excited. And he said, "Blessed is everyone who will eat the bread in the kingdom of God." He knew that Jesus was speaking the truth. He knew that the kingdom of God was at hand. He shouted what Jesus was teaching. Blessed is everyone who eats at the feast. The feast of the kingdom of God. But not everybody there was all that excited about the feast of the kingdom of God. So Jesus tells this parable about the great feast. How important the great feast is. And how easy we take it for granted. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. At the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." My friends, God sends a messenger to say, "Come to the feast." It's ready. It's ready now. This is God's M.O. as it has been His M.O., His modus operandi, His method of operation throughout all of history. When Adam and Eve ate the poison breakfast meal that Satan had prepared for them, Jesus counters with a feast. God says, there will come one who will crush the serpent's head once and for all. Jesus. Cling to Him. Believe in Him. Throughout the pages of the Old Testament, prophets are sent calling people, inviting people to come to the feast, to the wedding feast, the feast of aged wine, rich food. Come and celebrate. Celebrate why? Because God, in His love, has sent His Son to bleed and die in our place. God has sent His Son to rise from the dead, defeating sin, death, and the grave. We have much to celebrate. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. God's gift to us, delivered in the waters of holy baptism, spoken into our ears, fed into our lips with a foretaste of the heavenly feast to come. God sends His messengers to proclaim that the feast is ready. That's why we come to church. That's why the pastor preaches. Jesus, for you. Jesus, forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours. Jesus covers over your sins. The crucified and resurrected body and blood of Jesus are put in your mouth, pumping in your veins. Don't worry about your reward. God, who has given you everything, will certainly take care of you at the resurrection of the flesh on the last day. Just come to the feast and celebrate. What happens in our parable? But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to Him, "I bought a field, I must go out and see it. Please have me excused." Another said, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to examine them. Please have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Buying land, checking out your work implements, being married and having a family. There is nothing inherently wrong with any of them. In fact, they are all good. They are all blessings from God. Gifts from a gracious, gift-giving God. But what do we tend to do with the gifts of God? Our land, our possessions, our stuff, our oxen, our work, our wives, our families and family activities. How easy it is for these blessings to become excuses to not come to the feast. My friends, we all do it. Sometimes a lot, sometimes a little, doesn't matter. We all do it. God knows us better than we know ourselves. We are masters at excuses. And what is really going on when we make an excuse? When we make an excuse, it's not only an explanation, although we like to pass it off that way. Well, let me explain to you why. When we make an excuse, we are always justifying ourselves. Always. Always. Every excuse is self-justification. When I make an excuse for why my office is messy, you may find that hard to believe, but it is. When I make an excuse, not only am I explaining to you why my office is messy, I am justifying my action, or in this case, lack of action, by saying, it's okay, it's all right, there's nothing wrong with it. Every excuse works the same way. Everyone. And when God's gracious call goes out to the wedding banquet, come, hear the good news. Come, remember your baptism. Come, hear God's Word in Bible study or Sunday school. Come, eat and drink Christ's body and blood. When we make excuses, we're saying, it's not that big a deal, and what I'm doing is more important. Every time. Every time. My friends, do we really see what it means to despise our birthright? We've been born again into a living hope by the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are ours. And yet how easily we make excuses and despise that which is God's gracious gift to us. My friends, God's desire is for all people to believe the good news. God's desire is for all people to hear this gracious invitation of the great banquet, to believe, to eat and drink and celebrate what God in Christ Jesus has done for them. This is God's desire. This is why He sends messengers out to the four corners of the earth. And let's be honest, folks, this is why we have Vacation Bible School. This is why we have Sunday School. This is why we have Bible study. This is why we have church on Sunday and Wednesday. This is why we do this stuff. This is the invitation going out. When we look around and we see that the banquet hall isn't full, and that there's still room for more, instead of whining and complaining about the people who aren't here, how about a phone call, or a visit, or a smile, or a word of encouragement? When we realize that our kids, or our grandkids, or our neighbors couldn't care less and all they do is make excuses, do we pray for them? Do we pray that God would bless them, that their baptism would bear fruit? Or do we make excuses for them or ourselves? My friends, these words here are real. They come from God Himself. This is dangerous stuff to despise our birthright. And right after this parable of the great banquet, Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. If any of these good, God-pleasing gifts of God become our false idol, if any of them do. We're despising our birthright. I want to tell you a parable. It's not really a parable, but it's a parable-like story. There was a boy who grew up in the church, baptized when he was just a few weeks old, went to parochial school, couldn't get enough. In fact, bragged about how maybe when he got older, he might even be a pastor. He got older. He won many wonderful awards for perfect attendance in Sunday school. Couldn't get enough of God's Word. And he bragged about how when he got older, he would continue to go to God's house, to be in God's Word, to go to Sunday school, and then even adult Bible school, even though so many around had fallen away. But slowly, like the others around, this little boy, now a young man, became enamored with sports and girls and cars and work, college, all kinds of wonderful excuses about why he was no longer in God's house. Dreams were big. Sports, work, success, money, early retirement. All of these things were wonderful excuses. When this man got married, going to God's house, being in God's Word, not even an afterthought. It was a nothing thought. Kids, they're wonderful, but it's a lot of work getting them up in the morning and taking them to church or Sunday school. So it didn't happen. I'm not exactly sure what happened to this little boy, young man, young father, master of making excuses. All I can say is that it was a miracle. I don't know exactly how it happened. It just did. That little boy, young man, terrible father, is standing before you right now in the pulpit. There is no one, none of you that is a better excuse maker than me. None of you. Not one. You might be as good, but you're not better. Somewhere along the line, a faithful messenger preaching law and gospel penetrated my hard heart and my sick soul, drove me to repentance. My friends, you know the moral of this story? It's not too late. Now, I'm not expecting everybody to go to the seminary. But it's not too late. It's not too late. God's gracious call goes out right here and right now. Hear the good news. Believe. Repent. Come to the feast. Be so excited about the feast. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God that you can't contain it. You share it not only with yourself, but with your family, with your friends, with your kids, with your grandkids. Come to the feast. The feast is ready. Forgiveness, life, and salvation is yours. My friends, the forgiveness of sins is real. There really is something worth celebrating. Jesus Christ for you. God's Word is a word of life, a word of salvation, and it is certainly a word worth celebrating. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever bad choices or excuses you've made, hear it today as if for the first time. Christ Jesus has bled and died for that sin. You're free, forgiven. Now, let's celebrate. Come to the feast. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, your celebration in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. What I needed then and what I need every day is a new heart. We stand and sing our offertory, page 192. We ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the gracious invitation to the heavenly banquet would be heard and believed by you and by all. This time, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
conditions of prayer is listed in your news and notes.
We also pray for Vacation Bible School beginning tomorrow morning. We give a prayer of thanksgiving for Seth and Mackenzie Scholar, joined in holy matrimony at this altar yesterday. Give thanks and praise for the 40th anniversary of Don and Peggy Olson. And we also pray for Pauline, mother of Arnett Garris, who is in hospice care following a stroke. We stand. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, who sets the table for us, the great banquet feast to which we are all invited. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your Holy Church who takes the invitation throughout the world, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show forth our thankfulness in lives wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Send the light of your truth into all the earth. Raise up faithful servants of Christ to advance the gospel both at home and in distant lands. We especially pray for the Vacation Bible School of Good Shepherd this week. We pray, O Lord, that the children would come and hear your word. Lord, in your mercy, preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially President Obama and the Congress of the United States, Governor Ricketts and the legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, Lord Jesus Christ, you blessed marriage with your presence, your first miracle at Cana of Galilee. We give you thanks and praise for joining together Seth and Mackenzie at this altar yesterday. Bless their marriage, bless their life together, that they may show forth the image of you and your church. We also give you great thanks and praise for 40 years of wedded life to Don and Peggy Olson. May their love for each other continue to deepen and grow through every day shared together. Lord, in your mercy, by your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near, especially Pauline. Bring consolation to all those who are in sorrow, and grant to all who are in need a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, all these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of Him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We turn to the service of the sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by His glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore praising you and saying, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Go with peace, with great joy, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Let us pray. We have thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore You that of Your mercy You would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Closing hymn, number 632, we remain standing.
Goodies in the fellowship hall. We'll have Sunday school opening in here in about 5, 6, 7 minutes. We begin our summer Sunday school today, so you can check that out. We'll make sure we get you to the right spot. Vacation Bible school starts tomorrow. If you have any questions about that, I see Maureen sitting out there. Yeah, I don't know if she. Yeah, she's ready, willing, and able to answer any questions. If you haven't had your kids signed up yet, sign them up. If you know of somebody that would like to come, pass the word and get them just here a little bit early tomorrow morning, and we'll get the registration taken care of. Otherwise, it's 9 to noon, Monday through Friday this week, and it is created in Christ, who we are and why we are. Very, very good, very basic vacation Bible school pointing us to who we are as God's special creation and forgiven and redeemed in Christ Jesus as well. One opportunity for Bible study today. We'll continue our look at Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, that's in the fellowship hall. Vickers and Hickman, keep him in your prayers. I don't know, check out the news and notes. All the activities and events are there. And join us for coffee and goodies. Have a great day and week in the ongoing celebration, which is Jesus Christ for you.